This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's STIRLING soap.com.
Tonight we'll go back in time to seasons past when 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one final score, which would bring victory after 60 minutes of a battle on the gridiron. Tonight we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats, football history and its memorabilia on the Sports History Network. And we're in conjunction with Swick Enterprises, and we're live from the Southport, North Carolina, home of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'm Bob Swick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats is the only publication in America that focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150-plus years of football history and memorabilia. You can find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. It's at this time I'd like to introduce my co-host. He's a senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Largent. He hails from Portland, Oregon. Mr. Joe Squires. Joe, welcome to the show.
Captain, good morning. Good afternoon to you. Good to be back on the show.
Good to see you, Joe. I know you're on holiday somewhere in Oregon. We're there enjoying the sights and sounds of summer.
Yes.
We're in a protracted heat wave down here, where yesterday was roughly 110 degrees with the heat index. It was exceptionally warm to say.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was that hot. I took a glimpse yesterday because it hit 95 here. We have a 4th of July tradition. We go to a big lake in Central Oregon called Lake Billy Chinook with my sister and some friends, and we go camping and all day boating. I was hauling my boat there. It's about 100 miles from my house to the lake, and the entire hub of my boat trailer
was hot,
broke and came off.
So oh my!
I spent about 4 hours on the side of the highway with my family waiting for a tow truck to come and grab my boat trailer. So all of us crammed into my sister's boat. It was a great holiday.
Wow. Well, it was funny yesterday. Not funny, but John Spano sent me. He's in South Carolina.
Yeah.
He sent me his temperature gauge from the car, which was 104 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was really hot yesterday. I did not feel like leaving the house, nor did I leave the house except for.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's about it.
I had a Navy buddy who lived in Phoenix, and I went and visited him in the mid-90s. I remember it was so hot, his air conditioning in his apartment couldn't keep up, and so we went to the movies. He's like, we go to the movies when it gets this cold or hot. And it got so hot while we were in the movies, the heat from the asphalt popped one of his tires.
Wow.
So
wow.
That was
I believe it.
Welcome to Phoenix moment.
Well, we have a special guest today, and I want to move right to his introduction and start talking about the items we are going to talk about in this show. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce our special guest, who's well-known to our magazine and to our podcast. He's a recently retired IT professional. He's spending the majority of his career as a senior network consultant for IBM. He's been actively collecting vintage football cards for the past 40 years. And while traveling, he's always found a way to visit card shops, flea markets, and attend major shows to help him build a world-class vintage football collection. He's written numerous hobby articles, including several in Gridiron Greats, and is an active participant in his local Professional Football Researchers Association team area. His current interest has been in vintage Buffalo football collectibles, especially programs. Today, as a follow-up from our last podcast, he will share his opinion and discuss what he feels are some of the rarest vintage football cards and sets he's encountered over the past 40 years.
And oh, yeah.
I'd like to welcome to our show, Mr. Carl Amendola. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? And Bob, I'm looking forward to going through this. I think I've always been big on sharing information and educating some of the newer collectors and talking to them about this stuff, and always willing to show off some of this stuff. And I think this could be a really interesting show for a lot of people.
Well, it definitely will be, because we're going to look at some rarities. The last show, for those people who are viewers who haven't seen it or listened to it, we were talking about scarcity versus price, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing over the years as a collector, and Carl and I pretty much go back, you know, the same errors as far as collecting, where, you know, I used to say you go to a show, a dealer would have a cheese box for $5, and he would just whisper to you, "I have this box, take it, $5, get out of here." And so I don't, you know, I don't have people spoiling my selling of my baseball cards, so on and so forth. So the hobby has evolved massively over the past, actually, 50 years, if we go back to the 70s. So it's interesting to see how some things have not changed and how some things have changed dramatically. So, Carl, we discussed prior to the show, and we were emailing back and forth. We want to look at what cards, in your opinion, our opinion, the opinion of the hobby, would be the rarest of the rare, not necessarily the most expensive, but, you know, the rarest that we can see. And you pretty much gave us a list of 22 different areas to look at as far as sets, individual cards, so on and so forth. So I'm going to hand off to you, Carl. Let's look at our first area, and that has to be the Mayos.
Right. Well, obviously, the Anonymous, and Joe showed a really nice copy of it. And my writing partner for many years, Mike Bonner, and I published this in SCD in August 30th, 1996.
Wow. So
almost 30 years.
Yep.
Jeez.
It says Anonymous no longer. So Mike went through the archives and of Harvard, and he discovered who it was. I was looking for that card. I talked to one guy. He said, and this is in the old days where it was just SCD, he says, "I wrote every vintage card dealer in SCD for 3 years trying to find that card. Came up empty." And I had a laugh. I saw a guy recently on Mike Taberner's football thing on Facebook. Guy says, "I'm looking for an Anonymous. I'm willing to pay over comps." And I'm saying, "What do you think? You're buying a Pokemon card here?" I mean, you got to be kidding me. Comps? On a card that's rare, there's probably maybe 12 to 15 of them. You're lucky to find one, okay? And after I wrote the article, since I wrote a lot, I was able to get into the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and I saw Burdick's collection, and they gave, and I paid for this, and I have a sheet here of Burdick's collection with the Anonymous on it. It's not in bad shape. But you could see some of the cards, like this one's got a pinhole and pinhole here. Some are miscuts. But I just thought it would be kind of cool to get a copy of that. I think I paid like $35. I don't think you can get in to see that anymore, but there he is. So that's one of the Anonymous.
He had an incomplete Mayo set. That's interesting.
Well, he had the whole set, but this I only paid to get this one page of it.
The sheet with the Anonymous. Gotcha.
Yeah, it says College Football Stars, PH Mayo, issue number 302.
Now, wow.
Isn't that cool? And then one day I was sitting home, and I you know, I worked for IBM, and I was on the internet, and I've been on eBay almost 30 years since the beginning. I get a phone call from a guy He says, "Is this Carl Amendola, the vintage football card guy?" And I says, "Yeah." I said, "Who is this?" He says, "This is Richard Dunlop. This is Dunlop's grandson." He called me. He found me. He worked for Hewlett Packard. Mike Bonner went down and interviewed me, and interviewed him, I should say, and wrote a real nice article. And this is in the Collector magazine. This was when SGC used to have a little magazine, and it tells about his grandfather, and it was really tragic. His son died. His father died when he was 6 years old, but he didn't realize that his father, grandfather is probably the rarest football card in existence.
Until Mike looked him up. Seriously, that must
It
be a
was
fun phone
unbelievable.
call. Hi, with your grandfather.
No, he actually went and visited them in California.
Interesting.
So the next one is I'd like to talk about is Lafayette College. This came up in a Maestro auction.
Can you go back real quick? I'm
Sure.
sorry. You dropped that you've been in the hobby for 30 years, or 30 years ago that
40.
article came out. 40, I mean, I joined eBay in 99 and started getting on chat boards in like 2003, 2004. And I'm a Johnny come lately. So, I mean, I often say it's, guys like you have more knowledge about the hobby in their pinky than I do. How did the homework start? I mean, you said Mike went and looked up and found who John Dunlop was, but I've never asked. I've never known. What was the like Eureka? Here he is.
He went to the Harvard archives. He was interested in football too, and he said, "I'm going to try to figure out who this guy is." And he went to the Harvard archives, went through the stuff. And I recently did this for the Lafayette set that Jeff discovered on eBay and publicized on our chat. And if you do a little bit of research, and what helped me is. And I thought about, this hobby. How did I, one of the things you want to know is how did you get started? And how did you do this? I was blessed because I was into computers and on the internet, way before everybody, right? So it was a perfect match. It was my hobby and my profession allowed me to find these things. And then I became a consultant. IBM was just products, got into services. So I was a consultant. So I used to travel around mostly the Northeast or across the world, but mostly in the US. And anytime I saw a card shop or a show coming up, I'd extend my trip and I'd go and I'd find these. And like Bob says, they'd come to me and they'd say, "Football cards? Here, let me here, take them." You know what I mean? They didn't
Nice.
care about football cards. They wanted to just sell their baseball cards, right? And but anyway, so I started to really focus and I said to myself, "You know what? I want to be like our baseball is very mature." Then I saw Beckett had the number two, which had baseball, it had football, boxing, basketball, hockey, and non-sport. And I bought that book and I says, "You know what? I'm going to focus on that. I want to go where the puck is going, not where it was," like Gretzky always used to say. So
Absolutely.
that's how I kind of got started. I collected everything and then I sold off everything. I liked football the most. Buffalo just has the Sabres and the Bills as far as professional teams. And I was like football with my brother. So that's how I kind of got started in it.
Excellent.
So one day on I noticed in I used to buy a lot of stuff in the Maestro auction was this Lafayette College set. Okay. And Dan
Yes.
Hitt bought this set for peanuts, I think, on eBay one time.
Wow.
And can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, put it up just a hair up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great.
So
That's
this
great.
is the Charlie Berry.
Wow.
And let me tell you something, Joe. These cards, they were all in PSA holders. They're all like 96s, 92s,
Gosh.
88s. I mean, I don't even have new cards in this kind of condition.
Yeah.
And I remember I bid on them, and I was bidding on a Mayfair Candy set, which I'll talk about later. And I remember Brian from BMW told me he called Randy Stuckemeyer, who was the big SGC collector. He owned like seven companies. And he called me that night of the auction because he knew I was big into football. I'd be bidding strong. He says, "Carl, when you're done bidding on it, and it goes past your limit, call me and let me know, and I'll take over. So he was a very honorable person. So I wanted the Mayfairs. So I went after that. I called him. It was going up there. He was battling it out. He ended up winning it. And then when he passed away, I thought it was really nice. Derek Grady, I think, helped with his estate, and he had a little note to call me. And he offered me the set, and I bought it.
Randy had left a
So,
note to call you
yep,
with that.
yes,
That's
about that
classy.
specific set. In fact, 2 days before he died, I got a message because I had an SGC 92 George Connor, and he wanted it because he had it. All the stuff was phenomenal. And we were going to do a deal. He says, Carl, I'm still interested in doing a deal and this and that. And this was 2 days before the guy died. So anyway, he was a really nice guy, just like Chad Dreyer. Used to trade with him, a real big
Yeah.
collector who I know you know. So anyway, the Lafayette, that's the only set I've ever seen. I've heard of a few extras floating around, but they're in impeccable
That
shape, and it
predates
has a
the
lot of the guys that were
that pre
precursor to the Pottsville Maroons.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, that's so interesting. I didn't realize that Lafayette set was 24. Thought it was 27 for some reason.
And the
Okay.
one that Jeff just saw was 22 that him and Peters had.
Yeah.
I'll probably write an article about those soon too. Anyway, the next thing I have here to show you on my
Hey,
list
Carl,
here
real
is,
quick, I'm
yep, go
curious.
ahead.
Did you ever find your Dunlop?
Oh yeah, I got it done. I've had three Dunlops.
Okay, I was pretty sure you had one, yeah, but I didn't want
Yeah,
to
I
ask.
have an SGC 40, just like you.
Which is beautiful. Your SGC 40 is beautiful. That's a good looking
Yeah, it's
car.
nice looking. Yeah. It's got writing on the back though, Mark. It would be an MK, but
Oh,
it,
gotcha. I
But
didn't know that.
anyway, Shotwells. I had a friend of mine, another advanced collector, about 10 years older than me. I was collecting the red grain Shotwell cards like you, I'm sure you did. And there's the football scenes in the movie one, and then there's the bio, and then the ones with the printed ad backs. And he says, Carl, I have one that I found that I can, that it's a variation. And I said, so send me a picture of it. And he didn't want to sell it. And then eventually he decided to sell it to me. And
That's
I told Mike
so
Blaisdell
rare.
about it, and Mike didn't know about it. And my friend says, if you ever find another one, I'll give you $50. And so
Very gracious
anyway,
of him.
I one did surface. Blaisdell somehow in his way dug one out, and I think it went in the MSB auction, and I think Jeff may have won it or somebody else.
Yeah.
I those are the only two I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Blaisdell has his ways, for sure. That
yeah.
is, what's
Blaisdell
the
was a
story
huge
behind
friend.
that? I mean, that's him in his Bears jersey, isn't it?
Right. My thinking is it was a copyright thing, and maybe he couldn't show his Bears jersey with the 77. I don't know. I was just telling him it's rare. You wanted rare? This is rare.
That's the one. My gosh, how long have you
You
had
own
that one?
one? You don't have one, right?
I do not. You know what's interesting is I've had the Shotwells, and that one came up. I forget what auction it was. Jeff kind of,
MSB.
yeah, was it MSB? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
It was an MSB auction, I remember.
Yep.
It was their last one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gotta miss
One of the
those
last
guys.
ones I did. Yep.
Yeah. Jeff kind of, I love the card. It's not on my top list. So I was happy to let Jeff swoop in and grab that.
Now, this one, our host will remember. It was on eBay with
Yes.
PWCC. I spotted it with a boxing card. And I says, I'm going to win this card. I put in a huge bid in our host there, Mr. Squires, put in one. It's one of those where you sometimes say, oh, geez, I want it. And I didn't
I
hope
don't
I
think I
didn't.
bid on that, Carl.
Yeah, you did. You
Did
were
I?
the underbidder. I remember.
Oh, really? Because
Yep.
that's another one of those cards that, like, I if I remember correctly, I thought you outed it after you'd won it. So, anyways.
Yes. Yeah, this one. And what happened was, I was in Chad's office one day, the one time I went to
Okay.
see his museum, and he pulls me into his office and he shows me he had a lot of great stuff. And he says, you
Oh,
ever
yeah.
see this card before, Carl? He said, no, I've never seen it. And it kind of stuck in my mind. And then when I saw it on eBay, I said,
You
oh,
knew.
that's the card.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
Okay.
cool.
I don't know why somebody, well, I do know why a lot of people who put stuff on eBay that don't understand how rare something that is
Yeah,
don't
well, the fun, it
realize.
was PWCC.
Oh, okay.
So,
So they
you
were
know, like
correct. All
somebody
right,
said,
never
a
mind.
lot of auction companies don't do the research.
They do not, especially PWCC.
Right.
Yeah, he lives in Portland. He's a, he his house is about 2 blocks from me, Carl.
Oh, really?
I walk my dogs by his house all the time, and yeah, sometimes I pick up the poop, sometimes I don't.
Here's the Rogers Pete. There's two key cards in there. I think
Yes.
the Red Grange is a nice one, tough to
Yeah.
find. And
That's
then,
good
of
looking.
course, as Joe knows, he outbid me the first time. Ken Strong card. I
Carl, you and
remember
I, oh man.
I was bidding on this, and he called. He says he's bidding on it. He was telling you the kind of memory I still have, even though I'm 68. He was in a pumpkin patch with his kid, bidding against me.
Carl,
I'll
God.
never forget that. He wasn't
You
going to
remember
give
this
up.
stuff
So,
better than I do. I love that.
right. I mean, it goes to show you. I've seen some people say, "Well, you got to be patient, wait for the next one, and this and that." Not me. I see something like that, you go
You
for
know,
it.
the one thing I really want to point out, which we understand, but I think novice collectors, new collectors for the hobby, or somebody even thinking about going into pre-war World War II football items, they are exceptionally rare. Anybody
Yeah.
can argue with me all they want, and I do agree with you, Carl. A big reason why I'm turned off doing shows is one show I did in Wilmington. I had a few Mayos I was showing to sell, and they're there with their phones and they're saying, "Well, it's not bringing up any comps." And then I
I
get,
know. That's like I said earlier,
yeah, I gotta
right?
go
Yeah.
through the whole speech. Do you know how rare these are? Do you even know what they are? Type of thing.
Stupid.
You know, you should be thanking me for my, educational lecture I'm giving you right now on the card. And kind of think about it. You don't think twice of buying a brand new PSA 10 something, one of one, and pay $5,000 for it, but you don't want to spend $2,000 on a card that's 100 and over 130 years old, of which you're lucky if there's 30 or 40 of them actually in existence. And
Couldn't agree
that's
more.
the mentality you're dealing with in the hobby in a lot of cases. And it's frustrating for me, it's frustrating for Joe, it's frustrating for Carl, it's frustrating for Mike Blaisdell and Andy Becker and all those guys, who are pretty much were the, pre-World War II hobby for quite
Yeah.
a long time, if you really think about it.
And the
So
way you get experience, I'm not going to the National, unfortunately, this year. I waited too long, but and it's kind of a little bit of a turnoff. It's so packed, you can't get a hotel
well,
room.
it's not a comfortable show
No, it's
anymore.
not a comfortable environment. And I can't find it. I mean, I could find a few things maybe, but I mean, it goes to what you were saying. You know, they don't, the guy, like I said, posting, I'm willing to pay over comp for a Mayo Anonymous. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Carl,
Anyway. He
I use
figured.
your quote all the time because we talk about, you know, my business was into restoration, you know, fire or water. I see it all the time. I mean, and I was hired as a consultant a few times for, you know, people who had football, you know, or baseball sets, and I'd come in and, you know, and value it for the insurance company. So I was always like, how many of these have been lost to fire, floods, et cetera? You brought up something years ago that I still quote, which was the paper drives of the war. You know, how many of this stuff was just thrown out? Because my mom threw out most of my football cards when I went off to when I joined the Navy out of high school. You know, I'm sure there's countless people who have the same story. But then you talk about the paper drives of the war, and that's just one more a voracious vacuum, I think you described it as.
Exactly.
So let's move on to the next thing. The matchbooks. I have the Nagurski, you know, the Nagurski and the silver ones and the Herber. We had a big conversation about the Herber. I think it's really rare. But the 34s, I have a 33 set, I have a 35. The 34s are like a never-ending pit. And recently, I mean, I don't go after it aggressively, but I wanted to get a Red Grange. So I got a Red Grange 34. It was in Huggins. It was another one, a different color, but I figured, I'll get this one, but the 34s, there's some Bears and Packers, as people have stated, that are really rare, I think. Link linemen, Walt Kiessling. I mean, I don't even
And
have them. I've never even seen them.
to find full match books
Without the
themselves
bobtail, right? So the
is
next thing we'll talk about is, like I alluded to earlier, is Mayfair candies. And I wrote an
yes.
article in 1997, January, with Mike on the Red Grange. We publicized that one card had Red Grange on it.
It was indeed
And
red, yes.
here he is in all his glory. This is a tough card.
And the Mayfair and that card that you can't see his numbers, but in the photo they pulled it from, you can. So
And what's
really good
interesting,
homework on that, digging up that exact photo.
The other thing is, what's interesting is, which a lot of people don't know, and every checklist you'll see, except for the one on SGC, because that's what mine are in, has 24 different. Well, I have six completely different backs with the same front. So here's two of them, okay? And I'm going to read the back. So this one says, three unsuccessful tries for a first down leave no alternative. Fullback drops back for a kick that almost blocked as the ball sails over the heads of the opposing team. No gain. That's that one. This one, the exact thing. Indecision on the part of the quarterback calling his signals results in the team returning into a huddle and being penalized for delay in putting the ball into play. Penalty, 5 yards, no gain. So there are cards with different backs. I believe I'm the only one that has, that I'm aware of, that has some of the, and I paid a lot of money to get the variations. And there was a guy in Minnesota, I got two of them from, bought one from Dreyer from his estate. They're really tough. But look at the checklist on PSA. It just says 24 to 24 fronts. So I don't know, when is the checklist complete? Is it front and back? Is it just all the fronts? Anyway, it gives you something to go for. All right.
Some of these checklists are ever growing too.
Now here's another one that's kind of neat. I collected the Wheaties. I still have a lot of the Wheaties football in the 30s. They're very popular, as everyone knows. But what people don't realize, and I became aware, I got this from Mike's collection graciously, they were single serving size Wheaties with football players on them. I think there's a guy in Cleveland that's got two of them. I bought this one. Those are the only three I've ever heard of. If you ever see a single size Wheaties football player, grab it.
Those are exceptionally rare. I saw Mike's, and it was just amazing to see. It was an incredible, and to see it complete like that, obviously without the cereal in it, but a complete box like that is amazing.
You said you've only seen three of those single serving ones,
Well,
Colonel?
I've only heard of three. One guy who's a very advanced collector in the Cleveland area. He sets up at the shows. I mentioned it to Mike. I think he has two of them. They'll take them to the grave. But maybe I'll take mine to the grave too. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, Mike wrote a real nice article in Gridiron Greats about these Overland Candy football wrappers. I think there's only six in existence. I stayed up one night. I was in Cabo, Mexico, at a recognition event at 3:30 in the morning, bidding on this thing.
And you got it.
And I
That was
got it. That's
an MSB
that.
auction, wasn't it,
Yep,
Carl?
that was an MSB. I mean, it was a late night. And that's one thing I like now, that it forces these people that like to sit in the weeds and bid it at like 2, 3 in the morning. Us poor guys on the East Coast.
I constantly talk about my West Coast advantage being
You
3 hours
do have
ahead of
one.
you clowns.
And then this, believe it or not, is the display box for it.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that,
Unbelievable
Carl.
graphics. I got that from Mike too.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw that from Mike. That's beautiful.
Turn that sideways. Is
Yeah,
that
look at the
a,
size of this thing.
that's a panel, correct?
No, that's a whole box.
Oh, that's a box. Oh, I thought that was a display. Okay.
Oh,
Oh
it's
my
the whole
goodness.
box. That's the
I have
actual box.
never seen that. I had no idea that existed.
I just talked to Dan McKee. He's got the baseball one.
That is
The
really
baseball
cool.
one.
So did you get that shrink wrap? You have that filled with foam and shrink wrapped?
Well, a guy in Toronto, I know Bobby Burrell, he showed me how to do it.
Yeah.
Basically, you just go get a foam, you cut all four corners, the bottom, the top, and then you go to Hobby Lobby. It will charge you like $5 or $10 and they'll shrink wrap it.
Man.
So that's that. Now, this is one of my favorite sets, gridiron grates. There's four of these. These are notebook covers. I got these from Mike Hadley. You see that the little circles are intact. He was smart enough to cut the spiral, so they're intact. There's Nagurski, there's a Gip, and there's two other ones. Heston, I think, and forgot the other one. But anyway,
I had no idea there was a gap in that.
yeah, there's a George Gip.
That's cool.
I'm sure this holder's cracked a little. I was going to try to cross it over to SPSA, but maybe you know the answer. If this is a 6X mint, but it's OC because it's shown part or MC, what do you put as a minimum acceptable grade on the form? Six, four, six M's. You know, they don't have, remember the other grading companies drop the grade. They
I'll
don't
admit.
have qualifiers. So what do you put as a minimum grade on their
I'll
form?
admit. I'm friends with Scott Alpo, used to be one of the PSA graders, and he was an SGC grader for years. There's a bias. If you send that in and they crack it out, there's a bias. They definitely look at what the previous grade was and base it off that. You get an unbiased opinion if you crack it out and send it in.
Yeah, but what do you put as a minimum grade?
I wouldn't put a minimum grade. I'd let the chips fall where they may.
You
That's
have to put a
how I've done
minimum
it in the
grade on a
past.
crossover.
Yeah, I've cracked and crossed is how I do it. Just because,
Okay.
just that advice from Scott, where he's like, we're definitely looking at like, oh, this was an SGC 80, so we need to be below that.
Right. Here's the small version.
Yeah.
There's a
Yeah.
Grange.
Wow.
This is my brother's actually. I have a matched set of all the small ones with the ad and the envelope.
Incredible. I've never
Matched.
seen, yeah. Never seen the Grange one either, Carl. Can you hold that up a little bit more?
Sure.
What a handsome man.
Yeah, this
Hold
is
up.
a very attractive set, isn't it? And
Yeah,
then they
don't run
made
into
big
many
ones.
Heralds. Don't run into many
They made
Heralds
big
lately.
ones. This is the large size platter. So there's a large, a small, a calendar. I had a calendar, only had one. I decided to sell it to a big Sammy Bach collector. This is the Gip in the large.
Very cool.
Okay, so that's those. All right, let's move on. Now let's talk about, I didn't bring my silvers with me, but I don't have, they're not as accessible, but this is a nice ad for the silvers.
Yes. Thank you.
It's
I
neat.
have
Do
a
you have
copy
this
of
ad,
that.
Joe?
Yeah, I stole a copy of it. You posted that once and I was like, incredible. So I snagged a copy of it that I keep in my silvers folder. I think I showed that last week when we were talking about it.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
what's neat is you could get a cake,
yeah.
you could get an autographed football, or you could get tickets to the game. I don't think too many people traded in all their silvers to get a three-layer cake, do you?
Cake, yeah. Even though that's what they're after.
So anyway, the
Yeah, thank
silvers
you.
are excruciating.
Seriously, you built a little spreadsheet on what letters were on various players
Right.
in the silver set. I shared that as well. I give you full credit, Carl. I give credit where credit's due. But yeah, most of the research I know about silvers came from you.
It's
Well, actually,
interesting.
I
I know Richard Cohen, and he's got a complete set. Actually, I don't know if I told you the story. This is an
complete
interesting
football
story.
set of silvers?
Yep.
You're
Minus the
kidding.
E card. This is what happened.
And it's the E card, yeah, of course.
He collected them when he was young. He could never find the E card. His father was a politician. He went to Mr. Silber and said, my son would like to get this. And he says, okay, I'll bring it in, but he's got to bring it in the next day to trade it in. He can't keep it. So he brought it to school, 10 years old. showing all the kids. No one knew, no one believed him. So he's showing all the little kids. He's got the e-card. Oh, right. Brings it in, and he says, when he went off to war, I think he said that his parents threw him out. Then he rebuilt the set. He's in deep into his 80s.
Wow.
And he never could find the e-card, and he can't remember who it is.
So definitely a chase card.
Okay, that's probably the rarest football card in existence.
So it definitely
If it even exists anymore.
it was popular. So I mean, for him to brag and have to bring it in to school to show it off. I mean, it, so that local set was very popular then. If a 10-year-old kid,
Oh, yeah.
okay.
That definitely was. Yeah, that
You
was
know
pretty.
what, though? He got the autographed football. He still has it.
Oh, wow.
Signed by all the Colts from 49. What do you think of that?
That's incredible. That's kind of like your pennants, your 48-leaf pennants that are at Heritage right now.
Yeah, they're a steal. I can't understand. There's a lot of watchers, though. Maybe it'll go up.
I got you,
But
Carl. I'm watching. I got your back.
okay. Here's the 50 Admirals Ram.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful set.
What's interesting, and this is when Spence used to authenticate, this one's signed by Tom Spears, and I've seen
Wow.
other signed ones. And I saw some on eBay net with a stamp on the back from this the appliance store. I think they must have had a promotion in store where they had the Ram sign them, because I have four of them signed,
Oh,
and I saw
interesting.
other ones signed.
God, that Tom Fears pose is so cool. I flippin' love that. Look at
Yep.
him twisted
And then
around.
here's the this was the last one I got, the Waterfield. This is
Waterfield,
tough.
University of Oregon.
Yep. He remembered. And then of course Van Brocklin's another key one. This one's only DG, but I know you guys had bought a bunch of them.
I love that set. That's such an elusive set, though. That's hard to put
Right,
together.
now we're into the 60s. Okay.
Do you
Well,
normally have
actually,
that table set up, Carl, or did you bring it in
no, I pulled
just
all that stuff out
for
just for the show. Yeah, this isn't on the list, but since Bob mentioned it, and we're in the 50s now, here's a San Giorgio Macaroni
Oh my God.
card that Bob said he's never seen one
I had
physically.
never seen one in all the years of doing shows. I always saw it in the Beckett book. I was always fascinated by it. And I said to myself, any show I've been to, in all the years I've been to shows, almost 50 years, I never saw one in person until now. So.
So this one is actually a unique one, and this one is a Redskin. All the
Right.
ones I have the whole set of Eagles, all
And
graded around. This is a Redskin, LeBaron.
is it true? The Eagles were easier to find than the other teams. I have no clue. You know what I mean? That's what
Well,
I
the
had.
Eagles, there's only one other guy. He's a member of our group. I sold him. I had two sets or set almost a whole set. And he's on our team, and I won't expose who it is, but he
Okay.
has a set. I've got a set. Those are the only ones I've ever seen. And then this one came from Mike's collection, and
Yeah.
it's a Redskin. I've never seen
Uncut.
any other Redskins or any other teams. I would think it would be a regional issue. San Giorgio, I don't know. San
Interesting.
Giorgio Macaroni, where they are. I haven't done too much. But see, you used to cut them out and flip them. So this is all
Yeah.
together. Maybe you'd
What's
find
the
them cut
card
up.
stock on that? That's thin
It's
stock,
very
isn't
thin,
it? Okay, yeah.
very thin, like almost like a glassine type of stuff, you
Okay.
know.
And Beckett says there was actually 17 in the set,
Oh,
and
wow.
looking at it right now, Eagles, Redskins, and Steelers. So
Okay, maybe there are Steelers.
yeah,
Okay.
there are.
So this one was another eBay. Oh, geez, I bid that much and I won. This is Sawalski. This is a short print. I guess he was pulled from the team.
Huh.
And this is a very rare card, too.
Yeah.
So that's
That's
the
tough.
Bell. I have both Bell Brands Rams, but this one, I paid a fortune to get it just to complete the set. I think there's two other short prints in the 59 that I don't have. Okay, so now let's move into the 60s. Okay.
Shall we? Let's go into the 60s. Bob's favorite decade.
My decade.
Oh, you're gonna like this. Okay.
The
These
anticipation is killing me,
are,
Carl. Yes.
these are the San Diego Chargers,
Yes.
Golden Arrow Derby. The guy
Yes.
had some on eBay. I won every one. And then he said he had a whole set. I worked on this guy for 10 years and he sold me a set.
Yeah.
There they are. I
Hold that
sold some
Lance
of my
Allworth.
extras.
Show that Lance Allworth at one up again.
I don't have the Allworth out, but I have this one.
Oh.
I want to, there's a story here.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought the first one you showed was Lance. Sorry.
No, there's this one is Sid Gillman,
Okay.
Baron Hilton, and Joe Foss, the commissioner. Okay. Now, I like the PSA put them in. I just sent in, there was a group on eBay, and I picked up three other ones that I didn't have. I know that Steve Coleman bought the group from the guy. I bought the three I needed. And what's interesting is, I don't think a lot of people know this, but the guy also had this. And it was real tattered. So I went to a paper conservator and they fixed it up a little bit for me.
Yep.
This
Oh
is
my God.
the field that used to put the caps on.
Yep.
And if you count the holes, there's 33 holes. It's got the position and then there's the bench. So 33 plus, and it says these are your players, plus Joe Foss, 34, Sid Gillman, 35, Baron Hilton, 36. That's the whole set.
Oh,
So,
that's cool.
isn't that neat?
I've never seen that either. Holy crap.
All right.
And I
I
had,
love that.
it was
yeah,
not
so.
uncommon to see saver sheets for a lot of these types of caps, lids, things of that nature. That was very
Well,
common.
here's the letter.
I had
This
no
gets
idea.
better. Here's a letter that Sid Gillman wrote the guy, and it says his name was Jeff. Sorry to have taken so long in returning the enclosed autograph football field. Thank you for your nice letter and keep up that Charger interest, Sid Gillman. On the back, the guy sends me a personal note when I bought it. Okay. Here's your bonus, Carl. I had written a letter to the Chargers, and that was the response I received. I was nine and a junior Charger. It's like being a junior Seahawk. The field referred to was the field referred a referenced was of the Golden Arrow field, but alas, it's long gone since I lost it to the trash only 50 plus years ago. I remember it. Sure wish I had it still. There were autos from all the members of the team. At least you've got the Saber, the Sid's auto. So he found another sheet, which he put in the deal, and he gave me the Sid autograph Sid
Thing.
letter that talks about the
Incredible.
promotion. That's cool, huh?
Something like that might get Todd Tobias back into collecting, Carl.
He'd be top of my list if I decide to sell
Yeah.
that.
Well, I mean, he's the only guy I know who has a master's degree on Sid Gillman.
That's right. Really? Yeah, his coaching tree is unbelievable.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
So the next one, which is near and dear to my heart, are the Jones Dairy Bills. Okay. And here's the saver card for the Jones Dairy
Oh my
Bills.
goodness.
And on the
That.
back, it shows Kemp passing a thing of milk
Yeah.
to DeBenyon. Well, there are holes and there's 40 listed,
Yeah.
but 11 of them have never been found.
Can you
So the
hold that up again,
guy,
Carl? I've never seen that. Can you hold that up one more time, please? That's incredible.
there's Lou Saban and Ralph Wilson. And then there's all, and I've talked to some of these Buffalo Bills, and I says, what have you ever seen? I talked to Ed Rakowski. Because he's one I've never seen. He's a county executive. I talked to him. He's a member of our PFRA. And they tell me, and Harry Jacobs, that people used to come and go from the team all year long. And that's
Oh.
probably why there's not a cap of them. So anyway, the guy wrote Jones Rich Products. Here's this letter. It says, in answer to your request, I have enclosed bottle caps showing the pictures of the Buffalo Bills football players. You will notice that the set is not complete, but we do not have the others available. Collector's card may be also of use to you or benefit. I trust this material will satisfactorily take care of your request. VP of Sales, Jones Rich.
So even they didn't have a copy of it. That's so
I don't
inter.
think they exist. If I
Yeah.
ever found one, I'd be a strong veteran. There's 11 of them that don't exist. Okay, so that's the
Carl, there's been like
now.
four or five things you've thrown up here. I had no idea existed. And you are elbows deep into, investigating and collecting it. I love it.
Okay, now this, I don't know, were you publisher when this came out, Bob? You were?
No,
So
I was not.
you were not. This is an
That's so
article for
French.
Gridiron Greats on the milk caps and the Fairmont Dairy cheese. I just sold a few of these to Scott Brockelman at the National last year, and I think he sold them to Jeff, but the doubles. But they came, the 69s are horizontal. They came in either red or black. And then what Brockelman and I figured out is the black ones, just like the Jones Dairy, were low-fat milk. And Scott tells me he remembers his mom cutting them with scissors and being real careful. And
Oh,
this,
that's
you're talking to
cool.
a guy that has a T206 Wagner. You know what? Brockelman likes the Fairmont Cherry Dairy Chiefs more than probably that Honus Wagner. And then here's a 67 Johnny Robinson. And then here are some of the milk caps of the Bills. These are the ones that came in two forms. On the bottom of the bottle cap, see the ad? This is Cookie Gilchrist. And then this is, they came on the side of a carton like that. I have four that are on the side of the carton, partial panel. And then that's a
Wow.
Miller. Here's another one. I had SGC grade the black, the red ones, and
Did
PSA
you have to
graded
explain to
those.
SGC what they were? Did you have to tell them?
That's all I do, man. In fact,
Okay.
Brian at BMW said, I
I
saw,
remember.
whatchamacallit, I saw, what's his
Scott.
name? Was Dave Foreman at the National. He was talking there with Chris Ivy, and I came to him. He says, Carl, you're rough, man. You're rough. I've got something right now, which I'm not going to spoil it. It'll be a future article in at PSA. And I had to talk to the director of research, and they're going to slab it for me. But it's been in research and ID for like 2 months. And Brian at BMW says, Carl, you're the best I've ever seen getting stuff that's not in the graded. But it's almost impossible now. Because think about it, there's no upside to PSA or SGC to do this, right? They'd
It
rather
used to be
just
the
keep
registry.
slabbing all this common stuff and,
Yeah, it used to be the registry. They would slab it because you'd start a registry about it. But now, now they're grading Pokemon cards.
Right, and they make a fortune, and it's a business, right?
Yeah.
Here, this one's a tough way too. These are the Kelly's potato chips. So this
Yes.
is Dick Butkus. This one is Bob Hayes.
Bob
Bob
Hayes. The
Hayes.
Bullet Bob Hayes is the it's that's the rarest one in there, isn't it, Carl?
I don't know. Joe Namath is rare. I know I've only heard of one or two of these, maybe.
Wow.
These are impossible to find too.
Incredible.
It came in potato chips.
I've only seen pictures of them. I've never seen one in
Well, there's
person.
a couple on eBay. One guy's asking 10,000 for a Bart Starr and 8,000 for a Nitschke,
Oh.
which is outrageous, but the guy says he's real, they're rare, and I know they are, but you can't find them. But so are the buyers too. Sometimes you could outsmart yourself,
Yeah, that's a
that's the
good point.
problem.
Bob and I were talking about that last show is just what, yeah, the first card that comes up is most expensive because there's two buyers, and the second one, we've seen it all the time where the second one goes for half the price, Yeah, very thinly collected. Oh my gosh.
Royal Castle
Wow.
Dolphins. There's the Bob
Aubrey.
Greasy.
Yeah.
I
First of
bought
the
this.
Royal Castles.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I only own two high numbers. I think I talked to another guy, he's only owns like three or four, maybe. I know Mike Thomas had it on the thing. He has a whole set. He actually, I was buying cons and he found a group of them. All my years, I've never been able to get Royal Castle Dolphins. And so Mike Blaisdell didn't have any either. These are
Wow.
tough. The high numbers, just the regular, the low numbers, the six. Are easy. The high numbers are really tough.
You wrote a really nice summary of those on VFC like 6 years ago, just the how and why. That was incredible.
Yeah, and I saw Blair Krieger just said his is autographed or signed too. And then this was cut off. And I think he had a good theory is they wanted his autograph, Greasy, and they cut it off. You know what I
Right.
mean? You
Yeah.
know, think about it, a little hamburger shop in
Miami.
Right. Now, these weren't on the list, but in the interest of time, I'll show them. Here's because a couple of people mentioned them to me. These are the, and you saw that Martin Jacobs, I had a shot at these 10 years ago. Now I put my panel up finally. But these are the
Jones Rich.
Christopher Derry. George Christopher was the last Republican mayor of San Francisco, which is, very liberal. So they're not going to probably be another Democrat Republican mayor. But this is the million-dollar backfield. I had two panels. I had
Sure
actually
is.
three. Sold one to Spano, who we resold it. And then I think there's one in the auction that's going on right now. And it's a bargain for what it's at.
Inheritage?
Yeah, it's in Heritage.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. It's got two Hall of Famers, Bob St. Clair and not Joe Perry. Yeah, Joe Perry. And the one I have has John Henry Johnson on it. These are tough too. I think, I don't know of
Those are
anyone that
beauties.
has these.
Oh
These
my God.
came out.
Yeah, those are
They're
very rare.
tattoos, 1960. There's
Yeah.
action, there's teams, and there's some players. I have the Jim Brown, which may be the only one that's not approved.
Ray Show Dog Prisby was looking
Oh,
for
yeah, he emails me every
one
year, maybe
for
someday, right? So, what's interesting about these, it's the first time that OPG put their name on a product.
years.
First
Interesting.
time, 1960. But what's also interesting is here's the flyer. I got this from Mosier for the thing, and it says Topps football tattoo. So why
Yeah.
is Topps printing in London, Ontario, printing NFL football players? Maybe they were just so busy, or maybe they didn't care, or I don't know. But you can see the date, August 29th, 1960.
Interesting.
And
Gosh,
then
even
Andy, of
just that
course, said,
advertisement, that panel is incredible. I mean, it just tells the story.
right. Yep. So for people that are trying to put together a whole run of Topps football, these are, just good luck.
Good
I
luck,
don't have
yeah.
them all. You'll never find them all.
Yeah.
And then Andy rightly mentioned, we could talk about a lot of other stuff, but he says, Carl, you got to show the Walkers, Cleaners, Packers.
Yes, absolutely.
So here's the Curly
Rambo.
Rambo. And here is a John Blood McNally.
Wow.
I like them when they have the
Tabs.
thing attached, from the
Wow.
factory. Not, you see a lot of them loose, not a
Yeah.
lot, but they're more desirable, I think. What's interesting is the Lambo was attached on the side. All the other ones they printed, but he's number one attached up
Do
here.
you have the book those came in?
And
There it
then
is.
there's the book.
Attaboy. And look at that. It's got the tassel on
Now,
it. That's incredible.
this tassel's got to be blue. I've talked to Andy Becker. He has one. There's some yellow ones, which are not really the ones that was issued with. They came with a blue tassel. It's a
I
sad
didn't know
story
that.
though with this year. All, I've been buying a lot of stuff that I bought this set from a guy in Minot in near Green Bay, and he had it, and I know he had it. I contact him periodically, and he says, yeah, his wife had breast cancer. And I said, oh boy. But he says, oh, she's doing good now. Everything's fine. But he says, you know what? It's time to part. And I guess that's a lesson, right? Sooner or later, you come to a point in your life where you got to let the stuff go. And I've been selling, as you guys know, some of my stuff off. You know, some stuff it's tougher to get rid of than others. I'd like to trade for some stuff. But anyway, I
Yeah.
think that's all I had out here. Oh, wait. Well, two more things, real quick. The rarest CFL, 71 bazooka.
Yeah. But put it over there. Oh.
Joe
Yeah.
Theismann rookie.
Okay.
Yes, he does. And that's a panel. Is that an
That's the whole
advertising
box.
panel? Oh my gosh, what the hell?
I talked to Brian Wentz at BMW, and he told me he's got one chopped up cut off. He's asking 1200 for on eBay. And he said, Carl, he bought a big CFL collection. I think he paid either 40 or 70,000. He says the whole reason, you know, blue ribbon, everything in there. Says the only reason I bought that collection because there were three of these cards in it.
Wow, incredible. Joey
There's
T.
hockey ones like this too that are really tough.
Yeah.
But I had two. I sold one to a guy in Saskatchewan that I trade with quite a bit, and I kept one. I just think they're really cool.
Yeah, those are nice.
And of course, this is the best card right here. This is a pop one, the Carlo Amendola
All
PSA card I had done at the Cleveland National. This
Cleveland
is the one
National.
Joe's after. I know that.
You know what's funny? I have one of
Yeah.
those with my son, the two of us throwing the football back and forth. That is so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Hey,
Yeah.
if you could autograph that, Carl, I mean, yeah, I'd trade you something for it.
Okay.
I thought you
Isn't
were going
that
to pull up a
cool?
Steve Largent rookie card and say, here's the best. I
No,
thought you were going to hand
I
it just for me.
well the Steve Largent of course Topps Mexican is very rare.
Yes, it
Very
is.
rare.
How many of the star player candy cards do you have? I thought you were working on that set as well.
I have everyone that's known.
Everyone that's known. Okay. Oh, so you, and how many is that? Isn't that like 40?
40 or 50 of them, something like
Okay.
that.
Gosh, I mean, I remember Dave back had found some 15 years ago, and that expanded on the list.
Yep, I bought those.
Oh, did you?
Carl,
Oh, I didn't know that.
I put you on the spot as we're running out of time here. Number
Yep,
one,
yep.
you got your collection. What is the one thing goes to the grave with you or gets sold last of last? And number two, if you could do it all over again, would you do it the way you did it and focused on football? Would you have focused on a different time frame? What would you have done?
Those are two questions. Probably I thought about the first one. If I was going to run out of the door and it was a fire and there was only two things,
Yeah.
I would probably keep an anonymous. Okay. And I actually drove all the way to Connecticut. I got a call. The guy said he would sell it. I got up in the morning, drove to Hamden, Connecticut, or whatever, Greenwich. Bought it and drove home. That's the other card.
That was your
My
anonymous?
brother got when my brother was moving to Florida. I guy had a little ad in the back of the SCD at National Chickle High numbers. I drove with him all the way to Florida, spent the night, got up the next morning. The guy had a paper bag with the Nagurski and all the high numbers, but he had the Nagurski in a screw down holder. And I bought that and got up and drove home. So those are the two that I probably worked the hardest to get. So those two probably be the two that I would keep forever.
Okay.
Planning. Some of it's nostalgia, just the story behind it too, like you
Oh
said. I
yeah,
think that's cool.
that's what people don't realize, all the work. Now the other thing is, what would you do differently? Boy, my wife tells me that, why didn't you collect baseball? Why didn't you collect, I mean, I did collect baseball, but if I would have collected baseball like the way I collected football, who knows what I would have, right?
Yeah,
But
that's
I
true.
had all the baseball sets. I had runs of almost everything, but not, not like this kind of stuff, right? if you see some of this baseball stuff. And I don't know why baseball always seems to outstrip football, but and the thing I probably regret selling the most is I had beautiful boxing, but I like my non-sports. I wish I would have hung on to that. And the non-sports seems to be doing very well.
Yeah, there's a lot of renewed interest in non-sports today, and it's I still say, as far as football is concerned, to get new collectors in. I mean, I hate to say, we're an aging collecting base, and I think to get the new collectors in to actually buy this stuff, they just continue to need to be educated. And I always try to tell young guys with their, they got their phone, they take the picture of it, blah, blah, blah. I said, you're not understanding what the card is. Anybody can do what you're doing, and just, cop a price on it, and that's it. And you don't know what you have there. You got to do the research. You got to understand it. You got to, figure it out. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, like at Heritage, when I give them stuff or the other places, they say, I'm one of the few guys they've helped. They'll let me do some of the write-up. You got to be careful because you could, but I help contribute because some of the stuff, I remember the guy at Huggins says, Carl, that's great. When I was showing him stuff, he says, but I'd have to have a tape recorder and attach it to the listing so that people would know what it is. You know what I mean? So you could sometimes outsmart yourself. I guess the mainstream stuff, like the I don't know if you think about it, what's his name? Brady. I mean, can you imagine if I had a Brady rookie, one of those, it's worth more than probably my whole collection. I mean, I just doesn't seem right, does it?
That's it's not right, but it's a reality of the situation. That's the sad part. This
Yep.
stuff is.
Are you in it? I think a lot of these flippers, though, are going to start to get a wake-up call because now PSA is charging 80 bucks to grade a card. They're going to maybe never bring some of those value tiers back. Who knows?
Totally.
But that should put a damper. Maybe next year we'll be able to go to the National and enjoy it because it won't be as crowded with all these people trying to just flip things and make a quick buck.
The backpack people, as Bob calls them.
And they drop
So,
the backpack on your table and
I'm just curious of all the stuff you saw, Joe and Bob. What did you think was the? What did you like the most?
oh my gosh.
absolutely loved the Admirals. And I hate to say it, I love that San Giorgio flip book because honestly, I've been wanting to see one for years. And to me, they're beyond rare. And that's something that should go for, in my opinion, $2,000 to $3,000 a piece. And they're put out, if they're ever put out, what are they put out for? Two, three. If you look at the value in Beckett, it's not even realistic. You know what I mean? So the
Yeah,
Admirals,
my.
I always loved the Admirals. I always loved trying to find the San
In
Giorgio
Georgia.
flip books at the same time. And I still do like the Mayos. I always have. I always will. I know I'll never have an anonymous up in
If
the.
Carl would have shown his Dunlop, that would have been 2 weeks in a row that a Dunlop made an appearance on the podcast.
And that to me is the top five rarest card in our hobby. I don't care what anybody
Carl,
says.
I
I
was talking to
liked
Tony Arnold.
your Red Grange 77. As much as I say I don't, that's not like one of my top cards to obtain. Yours is in incredible shape. It rekindles.
Carl, you got an incredible collection. I'm speechless. I've always said it.
Yours is
There's
one of the top, Carl. I hold your collection in such high regard, and the knowledge you've given to the community is profound. Thank you.
And the one thing I
Yeah,
like
no problem.
is a lot of that history we just saw today is preserved now through this podcast. So it's a great thing. It's a great thing. I appreciate it. And we're out of time. Carl, thanks for being on. We
Right
could
on the nose. Look at
do a couple of more
that.
shows down the road. We'll revisit things as time goes on. Joe, thanks for being on.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
watching. We'll be back next week with another show. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.